It's time to get inside the Giants huddle.
Huddle up, huddle up, huddle up.
On Giants.com.
Here we go, here we go.
And the Giants mobile
app. Get them in there, let's go.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special rapid reaction Giants huddle podcast. John Schmelk and Lance Meadow with you. Usually we do these after games, but given the shocking, Lance, I don't know if it's the right move, surprising, but sudden, I suppose, would be the explanation. News that the Giants have decided to let go of their head coach, Joe Judge. That news breaking just after 5 o'clock or so on Tuesday afternoon. The Giants sent out their press release shortly thereafter. I'll read some quotes from it. Just so, 5:46, this is when the press release got sent out in terms of the newsletter to season ticket holders. A little before that is when the news got released. So this is the press release, Lance, and I'll just read it word for word here, and then we can talk about it a little bit. Joe Judge has been relieved of his duties as head coach of the New York Giants, the team announced today. Steve Tisch and I both believe it is in the best interest of our franchise to move in another direction, said team president John Mara. We met with Joe yesterday afternoon to discuss the state of the team. I met again with Joe this afternoon, and it was during that conversation I informed Joe of our decision. We appreciate Joe's efforts on behalf of the organization. I said before the season started that I wanted to feel good about the direction we were headed when we played our last game of the season. Unfortunately, I cannot make that statement, which is why we have made this decision. We will hire a general manager, and that person will lead the effort to hire a new head coach. And then also, just to reiterate, John Mara and Steve Tisch stated earlier in the week they've already started their search for a general manager after Dave Gettleman announced his retirement. And just to reiterate on that, this will be a comprehensive search for our next general manager, said Mr. Mara. We are looking for a person who demonstrates exceptional leadership and communication abilities, somebody who will oversee all aspects of our football operations, including player personnel, college scouting, and coaching, added co-owner Steve Tisch. It is an understatement to say John and I are disappointed by the lack of success we have had on the field. We are united in our commitment to find a general manager who will provide the direction necessary for us to achieve the on-field performance and results we all expect. I did, by the way, folks, if you're listening to this, record a podcast with Sean O'Hara at around like 4 o'clock on Tuesday. It was great timing. Just fantastic. that's the previous episode on the Giants Huddle podcast feed, and we go deep into the general manager search. We recorded it before the Joe Judge decision was made. So if you want to, you know, listen to that about the general manager search, we talk about their locked-in opponents for next year, the draft, free agency, and that sort of stuff. But Lance and I today will focus, obviously, on the news that the Giants have moved on from head coach Joe Judge. And Lance, obviously, the results the last 2 years, not what you want them to be. It's a bottom-line business, and the Giants have decided that it's better to have a clean slate than to have the head coach be here and then the new general manager either hold on to him or make a decision next week that they're just going to, you know, hire the GM, let the GM hire the coach. And now for, boy, I mean, clean slate, first time in 4 years, but it's another change of direction for the New York Football Giants, now moving on from their third consecutive coach in just 2 seasons.
Well, 6-10, year one, it was a down year for the NFC East, so they were mathematically still alive entering the final week of the season. And then 4-13 this year, an offense that clearly struggled. The numbers certainly support that. And if Joe Judge did hang around, keep this in mind, John, he was going to have to find a new offensive coordinator. So when you think about all of these movable parts, you're talking about a new general manager coming in and then having to have a conversation with the general manager. What direction do they want to go in? Do they want to retain Joe Judge? Do they want to move in and bring in their own guy? Then at the same time, Joe Judge having to find a new offensive coordinator. There were so many different areas of focus that I think the Giants probably came to the conclusion. And part of this is, and this is just my own personal opinion, John, remember, you've got a number of other teams that parted ways with head coaches and general managers. It's a competitive league from that standpoint, that sometimes you're going to go after similar candidates that other teams want. And if you don't get in on that early, then you lose out on them. So you wonder, was that part of the Giants thinking, hey, there's some intriguing head coaching candidates out there in addition to GMs. If the GM likely is going to want to come in with a fresh slate, do we now have to make a move now, John, as opposed to if we wait another week or two, other teams make their move, now all of a sudden we're behind the eight ball? I think those are all things that if you're the Giants, you certainly had to consider.
Though, I will say this, how much is the timing impacted if they're not really going to do much on the head coaching front until they hire the general manager anyway, which, you know, depending on how long the search ends up being, might not be till the end of the week or next week anyway. So it all depends on the speed of the general manager search and,
sure,
and then them making a decision in terms of what direction they want to go. But yet, look, Lance, your point is sound. And look, we've talked about it over the last week, heck, 3 weeks, let's be honest about it, on Big Blue Kickoff Live, about how there were different ways to do this, right? You could maintain Judge for a year. Then if the general manager isn't happy, you can make the change after next year. Donnie in Queens was a caller we had, I think, last week, and he made the point, you know, just get the fresh start. Look, and if you want to do that and you want to make sure the general manager has their head coach this year, that makes sense too. That's the road the Giants decided to take here. And, you know, the decision's understandable, but I think the important thing to note here is – as you move ahead now, this isn't just simply, you know, quick fix, get a new head coach in here, everything is going to be, you know, violets and roses and everything is going to be great. There are a lot of things here that need to get fixed with the roster as well to complement whoever the head coach is going to be if the next head coach is going to have some success as opposed to what's happened to the last three head coaches that have been through the building.
100%. Well, first of all, the relationship and the dynamics, John, between the general manager and the head coach. I mean, that I think is atop the list, right? You want to bring in a team that has a very similar vision in terms of reconstructing the roster as well as the organization. As far as what you said, in terms of there's multiple things that need to be addressed, I'm going to go back to the offense. Even Joe Judge, in his final press conference, John, what was one of the things he said? The offense has to be fixed. So no matter who the head coach and the general manager are, they're going to have to bring in a coordinator that's going to help lead that attack. Okay, so that's another layer of all of this. And then your point is well taken. We've discussed this on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'll emphasize it again. The Giants have decided for a clean slate, but the bottom line is the last few seasons they have gone in this direction, especially from a head coaching perspective. You had Ben McAdoo for 2 years, you had Pat Shurmur for 2 years, now Joe Judge for 2 years. It's not a league where it's a quick snap of the finger and all of a sudden everything is solved. So it's going to be put on the shoulders of the general manager first coming in terms of the timeline in all likelihood, John, then the general manager finding the head coach, and then the head coach putting together a staff that can help attack some of these areas of need that have to improve. Those are the three things that need to be in line before we even talk about the adjustment of personnel through free agency in the draft.
Right, 100%. You know, we can talk about what kind of head coach you want to bring in, and I guess we could talk about this from, you know, kind of a 10,000-foot view here, because we can throw out names here, Lance, but given the general manager is going to make the decision, you know, let's be honest for a second. Whoever the Giants hire as general manager, and I guess we could just start here, right? They're probably going to hire somebody that they're familiar with as their head coach that's from the organization or one of the organizations that they've been a part of. That's probably how this is going to work, right?
Some type of relationship, I would say. Yes.
I would be surprised if they hire a new general manager. And that general manager says, you know what? I really want to succeed here as Jim. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go hire a complete stranger that I have no relationship to. So that's probably not going to happen. So I think that's kind of the first step here, right? That the general manager hire here is probably the most important one, because that's going to kind of determine what track you take for the head coach. But just from a 10,000-foot view thing here, something we've talked about here before, this is when you start making this decision now. Do you want your head coach to call plays on offense? Do you want your head coach to call plays on defense? You just want your head coach to be somebody that manages the whole thing, and then you bring in coordinators underneath him? Or, you know, that's going to be the type of decisions that the new general manager is going to have to make.
Sure, and that also has different levels and layers to it, because look at the directions that the Giants have gone in previously. You had Ben McAdoo. Okay, he was promoted from within, but he was an offensive coordinator. When he was the head coach, he called the plays as well as running the team. Shurmur came in, John, very similar. He called the plays. He was also the head man. Then Joe Judge was completely different, because Joe Judge was a special teams coordinator, wide receivers coach, so he wanted to be more of the CEO type. I'm going to bring in coordinators underneath me. They're going to handle the offense and the defense. So the reason I'm bringing that up, John, is over the last three regimes, you've seen two examples of a head coach slash play caller, and then another one which went to the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and the results, unfortunately, have been similar. So I don't know necessarily if there's automatically one way you want to go into, but I think if you bring in somebody And this is what I've said from general perspective with respect to the NFL. When coordinators from previous teams, John, get hired, why do they get hired? They get hired because of what they did, right, with their previous facet of the team. So if you're an OC, the reason why you're a hot candidate is because you did well, right, with your previous defense or your offense.
So you probably want to let them do that again when
Bingo.
They get to your team.
Exactly. And I feel like we get caught up, right, in these debates and discussions. Well, I right. want a head coach that's going to then hand over the responsibilities elsewhere and just manage the game. But the problem is, the whole point of the appeal of why you wanted to go after that candidate
right.
was because he did such a good job with the offense or defense. So if you're going to go the route of a coordinator, just remember, if you bring them in, they should call the plays because that's what got them into this position.
It's the whole reason you're hiring them.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. It's like, this guy's a great play caller, had a great offense. Let's hire him. And then he's going to let somebody else do the job you hired him for.
What's the purpose?
No.
Yeah, makes no sense.
There absolutely is no point. So, look, you know how I feel about this. And, you know, Paul Dottino's on the opposite side of the spectrum here. This is an offensive league to me now, and I think you're on the same page as me, Lance. You got to score some points at some point if you want to win these games.
Well, especially based on what the Giants'
yeah,
offense has done over the last few
you
seasons.
You have to.
Yes.
So my inclination here is to think about, well, who's the really good offensive coach you can bring in? Again, much like, and I'm trying to be consistent here because I said it during the season and I'll say it again, with what was going on offense for the Giants this year with the injuries and the offensive line, I don't care who was the offensive coordinator this year. This team was not going to have a successful offense, especially in the final six games once you were dealing with the backup quarterback and the offensive line that you were. But I think you have to – the whole goal here now moving forward with everything together as a whole needs to be to fix the offense. And you know what? Even if it's to the point, Lance, where you neglect the defense a little bit and you figure that out later, I think I'm to the point now where it's like, look, you just got to figure out a way to get this offense rolling. Figure out the quarterback. Figure out the offensive line. And then you know what? If you go through a couple years and you have like the seventh-rated offense but your defense stinks, I'm kind of okay with that at this point. And then you figure out the defense a little bit later. You just can't keep going down this route where, you know, they've been a bottom eight offense for what? I think five straight years now, something like that. It's just something that's really not tenable.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to continue to grind out and win low-scoring affairs. And the defense was certainly respectable under Patrick Graham. They struggled in terms of stopping the run this past season in comparison to 2020. But even as we talked about game in and game out throughout the season, the defense could hold the opposition, for example, Kansas City, John, to 20 points, but then the offense only scores 17. So absolutely, it has to be a priority to vastly improve the offense. And if that requires bringing in a head coach who has an unbelievable track record in terms of play calling and creativeness with his personnel, then I would think that that would be a very wise decision. Now, the other thing I'll throw out, interestingly, John, is we're talking about prioritizing the offense.
And by the way, Lance, I just looked it up just for accuracy states. They were 23rd in 2019 in offense, and then they were 17th in 2018. In 2017, they were 21st. So let's be conservative. Let's say bottom third of the league. How about that?
Well, and specifically, I would say the last 2 years
well,
is
yes.
when they really fell to
bad.
The bottom.
Yes.
Because, you know, there were years with McAdoo and Shurmur where the offense produced, and then there were some defensive issues. Now, under Joe Judge, we saw the defense get bounced back, but the offense took a step back. But once again, it still goes back to, if you look at the playoff teams, okay, just look at the AFC and the NFC. You're going to find the common element is going to be, of course, good play in the trenches. That goes without saying. But you're also seeing a lot of offenses, scoring-wise, that are in the top half of the league. So you've got to be there if you want to be in contention and you want to remain competitive to close out games, which has also been an issue. But where I was going with in terms of the logic from an offensive standpoint, John, and I'm not going to say that this is going to be the popular choice, but do you entertain the idea of the college ranks? Do you look at somebody that has really done a good job manufacturing offense? And do you entertain the idea of, hey, maybe it's time to give him a shot at the NFL level? I would at least consider that. I'm not saying it should be the driver's seat mentality, because I think there's a lot of respectable NFL coaches right now who have been very productive on the offensive side of the ball. But I would at least entertain the idea about thinking outside the box at the college level.
And that's why, and again, I'm not going to say have to, but that's why I think when I take a look at it, you know, you want to prioritize getting the best offensive mind possible. And I think if you're going to do that, it's hard to say, oh, well, I'm going to hire a defensive head coach and then try to get an offensive coordinator, because that your pool of candidates for that job is not going to be as strong as your pool of candidates for the head coaching job, right? Because, you know, it's hard to grab an offensive coordinator from another team to be your offensive coordinator. That usually doesn't happen. You have to grab somebody else's offensive coordinator to be your head coach. That's kind of how the, you know, the process works.
Well, because
works.
They want the head coaching position themselves,
right,
sometimes,
exactly.
Those coordinators. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah,
yeah,
that's
and the
tough line to follow.
And the other team's not going to give you permission to, you know, steal their OC to be your OC. That's not how it works.
Because also it would not be considered a move up, remember, based on league rules,
yep.
Too. You'd have to, unless you'd give them the assistant head coaching title, but, you know, sometimes that's not necessarily the most attractive sell. That's why we see teams, if they really love an offensive guy, you make him the head coach, and then it's his job to bring in a defensive coordinator that will complement what he wants to do on offense. But most of the offensive-minded guys, even if you just look around the league, John, and you think about individuals that have been hired in recent history, you know, the offensive guys, they've jumped immediately into the head coaching position. For example, last year, Nick Sirianni, he was the Colts offensive coordinator. He got the Eagles job within this division. Matt LaFleur, when he took over as the Packers head coach, he was Tennessee's offensive coordinator. I mean, we could continue to give examples. Arthur Smith, who took over for Matt LaFleur, he got the Atlanta Falcons job. That's been the trend where teams, if they want the offensive guy, you take the offensive coordinator from another team, you make them the head coach.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's not what you have to do here. But
no,
I think,
but that's at least been one option,
correct,
that teams,
yes,
have followed.
And if,
yeah,
you want to try to get the offense right, and again, the coach and the scheme matters, right? I mean, you know, people have talked about how these, I saw this tweet the other day. I think Albert Breer, who's a great NFL reporter, we've had him on our shows before, talked about, oh, you know, people joked about, oh, all you got to do is friends with, you know, Sean McVay, you end up getting a good job elsewhere. Look what, you know, LaFleur's doing in Green Bay. Look what Taylor's doing in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to take credit away from these coaches. Do you think Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow have something to do with that?
Just slightly, yes. Just slightly.
I mean, I think probably a little bit, right? I mean, you have the other guy, you have the other LaFleur in with the Jets, and he's running around with Zach Wilson, and the results aren't exactly the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the talent matters. So you have to figure out where you're going. You have to still fix the offensive line. And that's why I think it still comes back to the general manager lens, why that hire is so important. It's going to dictate the pool of coaches you're probably going to choose from, because again, you want to have that relationship. And then you have to give whatever coach you bring in to fix this offense the toys to do it. Because right now, it's been proven, right? They've switched coordinators, they've switched head coaches, and the offense just has not gotten better because what's going on with the players on the field just hasn't been good enough.
Well, and also there's a number of players on the offensive line that are set to be free agents. So clearly that prioritizes that position because the GM is not going to guarantee to be bringing back everybody, and therefore they're going to have room and flexibility to address that in free agency as well as the draft with two first round picks. So, you know, those are two areas right there that you can utilize to fix the trenches to, yes, help your offense, because if the offensive line doesn't improve, then the running game and the passing game are not magically going to all of a sudden go up a notch. It goes hand in hand. Now, the other aspect of this, John, which I think needs to be brought up when we're talking about where you want to go with the head coach and personnel, is Daniel Jones, because developing your quarterback, I still think, is part of this equation. The fact that now Daniel Jones, and I'm not saying that this should be the priority because they already made the decision to move on to a new GM and a new head coach, but here we go again. Daniel Jones going to be learning another new offense, and also this is an extremely critical year because depending on what they choose to do with picking up his fifth-year option, he could be a lame duck player, meaning he could be just playing out his rookie contract without the fifth-year option, or if you pick up the fifth-year option, it's still important, right, to know by the end of the season, hey, what do we have with respect to a quarterback, and is he a good fit with whoever is brought in as the coach and the offensive coordinator? So where I'm getting at, John, is when you come in and you start interviewing general manager candidates, not only do you want to hear what their vision is in terms of what they're going to do with the roster, you also want to hear how does that offense that they envision and their head coach going to fit what they can work with respect to Daniel Jones. That is extremely important because the quarterback and the offensive line are two things, and quarterback more so health and production, that needs to improve in association with the O-line.
Yeah, I mean, I think on Lance, we're at the point now, right? If you're doing a total reset here, maybe Daniel Jones won't be in the equation. I mean,
depending on how the new GM feels.
And the head coach, right? I mean, that's going to be a decision both those guys are going to make. So I don't think we really know. I mean, I think, again,
but you have to have a plan, though. I didn't mean to cut you off, John, about where you're going to go with that position.
Correct.
If you come in and you're speaking to the Giants ownership and you're saying, we just don't think Daniel Jones is the guy, then I want to hear plan A, and I also want to hear about plan B in case plan A doesn't come to fruition.
No, absolutely. Look, as the GM comes in here, they need to have as they do these interviews, and the Giants will announce them as they happen, and we'll have, you know, reports on Giants.com and on Big Blue Kickoff Live and the Giants Huddle. We'll talk about all these guys, right? You know, there, and I think we mentioned this on the show that we did on Monday with Paul. These guys are going on Big Blue Kickoff Live. These guys are going to come in, and they're going to give a plan for everything, right? It's going to be, here's what we're going to do for our quarterback. Here's what we want to do for our coach. Here's what our approach is going to be in the draft. Here's how we're going to approach free agency. And that's what the plan's going to be. And I think now we're at the point here, Lance, where I think we've been operating in a bit of a box, right? Because we knew, you know, Dave Gettleman's been here for 4 years. We know the guys he brought in, what he was comfortable with. You know what Joe Judge has been comfortable with over the last 2 years. Now you're going to have two completely different people as the two most powerful non-player individuals and most important, aside from ownership, obviously, in the organization, making these decisions without any preconceived actions or moves they made. So they're looking at everything with a fresh look here. So we almost need to expand the realm of possibilities as what could happen. You know, does the GM come in and sell the ownership? Well, we think we need to do a complete teardown. You know, we're going to trade vets for draft picks. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know, all these things are on the table here for what could happen. And I think we do need to kind of expand the horizon now because, you know, who knows what plans these GMs have that they're going to submit to ownership. And the plan that ownership says, you know what, I think this is what we need to do. And, you know, do I think they're going to do some kind of like Philadelphia 76ers process or something like that? Or like what the Browns did a few years ago, right, when they kind of just traded all their vets and just amassed picks for a couple years? I don't feel like that's something, you know, ownership would like to do. But could a GM come here and pitch that as their plan? Well, I don't know. Maybe. So I think we just need to kind of expand I'll use a political term. Expand the Overton window of options here in terms of what this new regime could plan and try and do.
Well, the new GM coming in, which is what you were hitting on, would have not drafted any of the players currently on the roster or signed any of the free agents. So they have no ties, no allegiance to want to sort of see them play out, because they're hoping that if they're successful, that helps with respect to what they did to help build up the team. So, yeah, the GM could have a completely different vision with respect to some key critical components of the roster. And that then would trigger a completely different direction compared to where we are. We can only operate at this point of what the Giants right now have on the roster. And at least if you're ownership, you would want to hear, before you even bring in a GM, right? What's the million-dollar question, John? What do you think of the roster? And what is salvageable on the roster? What do you think needs to be moved on from? I mean, that's certainly one of the biggest questions that you'd want to ask. And then if you feel, okay, these components are salvageable, who's a head coach that you think, or a coordinator that would be a good fit working with this personnel? That's why, to me, it's really a two-parter. But yeah, we can't make any assumption that anything is 100% sealed in returning for 2022 and will absolutely be a part of the offensive or defensive game plan. It's just, to me, it's a bit of a crossroads area, I guess is the best way I would describe it, John, because not only are you changing the general manager and the head coach, but you're at a bit of a crossroads in terms of Daniel Jones, because whoever does come in will have to make that decision, even though they have no ties to him, what you're going to do with that fifth-year option, because that's just the nature of the timeline of the NFL since he was a first-round pick.
And then what's your plan at quarterback, right?
Yeah,
I mean, all that is together. And I guess let's circle back here, Lance. And one other thing we didn't talk about, the head coach search. We've kind of gone awash in a bunch of different areas, which makes sense. Everything's connected here. As Paul likes to say, everything's a spider web, right? So I guess how important is it for you to make a hire here of someone that has some head coach experience? Or are you fine with bringing in a guy that's never been a head coach before at any level?
I don't know if I would prioritize they have to be a head coach. I think you probably would want somebody with experience, though, at their given position. So there's a track record. So, John, if we go back to, if you want to bring in an offensive-minded guy, I want to know that he's been a coordinator for 5 years or so, whether it be at the college level or the NFL level. You want some track record to go by, okay, it wasn't just a quick flash for a year or two, that he worked with maybe a variety of different personnel, and he had a certain level of production. But no, I don't think the person has to be a head coach. And the reason being is I'll go back to some of the examples that we threw out. And yes, remember, other teams, it's dictated based on personnel. But we were talking about Matt LaFleur. And yes, he got Aaron Rodgers. But Matt LaFleur has taken the Packers to the playoffs each of his first few seasons. Nick Sirianni came in year one. He didn't have Aaron Rodgers. And he was able to get the Eagles to the playoffs. So those are two guys. They were long-established coordinators in the NFL without any previous head coaching experience. And I think both of those teams certainly are not complaining in terms of the direction that they went. Kevin Stefanski, I know Cleveland, you brought them up. That's why I was thinking of the Browns. They didn't have as much success this year. Last year, though, and Kevin Stefanski, a long-established quarterback coach, offensive coordinator with a variety of different players and a variety of different schemes. Zach Taylor, who you referenced in Cincinnati, he also was somebody that had been coaching quarterbacks as well as operating offenses. So we're looking at, I named four teams right there that you could go by that did not have previous head coaching experience. So to answer your question, no, I don't think they have to be a previous head coach, but I do think track record is important. And the reason I say that is, especially if you're looking at this through an offensive lens, you don't want to take a flyer, John, I think at this point, right? I mean, given what the Giants have gone through, a new head coach every 2 years.
That's why I asked the question the way I did.
Yeah, correct. I think that's why you probably want to go with some firm belief that we know what we're getting. We know how this person's going to operate. It doesn't mean that, once again, you're going to get 10 wins just like that. Okay, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But you just want to feel as if the individual coming in, he's operated things X, Y, and Z. He's run offenses. I just feel that that at least adds a little bit more of a comfort.
I'm with you. Any final thoughts, Lance, before we wrap this sucker up? And by the way, we'll be here with Big Blue Kickoff Live. Feagles and I are on at noon tomorrow, so we'll have more on it then. But until then, Lance, anything else you want to add before we say goodbye?
Well, the only thing I'll add is I think it's going to be now a very interesting process, or at least next few weeks interesting from the Giants' perspective, because, you know, we went in knowing that there were going to be changes, but not necessarily thinking that it was going to be a fresh slate just like we were experiencing a few years ago. So there's certainly going to be some adventure in terms of interviewing all of these candidates, and with change always brings the land of the unknown, but the Giants are going to have their fair share of candidates to choose from. There's a lot of people across the league. There's a number of head coaches that were let go, John, over the last few days, so it's not as if they're not in a good position, at least, to capitalize in speaking to individuals. And you know what? Here's the thing, John. Even if they don't hire these people, you know what the good thing about having them in is an interview? Hearing what their perspective is about the Giants, getting a variety of outside people to tell Giants ownership where they think they should go is not necessarily a bad thing because of the fact that they want to once again start fresh.
Good stuff, Lance.
You got it.
We'll talk to you on Big Blue Kickoff later in the week. And again, folks, you can, of course, find the Giants Huddle Podcast on Giants.com/podcast, the Giants mobile app, and your favorite podcast platforms. For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmelk. Again, Wednesday, noon, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Feagles and I. Check it out. We'll have more on the Giants moving on from Joe Judge, the GM search, the coach search, all of that and more as the Giants offseason revs up here on Big Blue Kickoff Live and the Giants Huddle Podcast. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next time.